Amen. I like it, amen. I like it. Couldn't help but think, I might say it every time I get up here. We was talking about Haywood the other day. I forget who we was talking to, but I always enjoy going to talk to somebody who don't know who Haywood is. He's a little man. He's been in heaven for several years now. Sweet little old man. I always go over and visit with him a little bit. He wouldn't have his hearing aids in, so he'd run and get his hearing aids, and he'd sit there 10, 15 minutes dialing them babies in. They just whistle, you know. But he loved that song right there. He really did. He sure did. So, amen. All right, take your Bibles this evening to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. Romans 12. If you found your place and you can, we'll stand this evening out of honor and reverence to the Word of God. We're going to begin reading verse number 1. Romans 12, 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's pray. Father, we sure love you. Thank you, Lord, for the songs. We sure have enjoyed the special, the choir, the congregational singing this evening. It's always a joy, God, just to lift up our voice. And Lord, I pray, God, that we'll always sing, God, for your glory. And God, it's so good to be around our brothers and sisters once again today. And God, I know many people are tired today. I know it's been a tiring day for me. And I just pray, God, that you just help us this evening, Lord, just to, God, to forget about our physical needs this evening, Lord. But God, just to give you our 100% this evening, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for the truth that we're going to see this evening. I pray, God, that you just encourage those that need encouraging. Maybe you need to, Lord, to poke a few that needs to just need some poking on, Lord. I just pray, God, that you just move in the hearts of people this evening, Lord. And God, we never want to forget about the lost, Lord, I pray. God, Lord, if it be somebody here that's lost, I pray, God, tonight be the night they'd get saved. Lord, I know we all know somebody that's lost. I pray, God, that we'd have a desire, a burden more for the lost than we've ever had before. And God, we'll sure thank you for what you do this evening, Lord, for us in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I don't think I mentioned Miss Michelle. Do you pray for her? She goes back, not this week, but next week. So pray for Miss Wendy. Russell said she's not working her foot as well as she'd like either. So these bodies just don't bounce back as quick as they did. The key for us 40-year-olds is we're getting old. So there we go. I'll say it for us. So. Amen. All y'all heard is I called them women old. That's what somebody said. I put me in the boat. So, amen. All right. Well, I told you this morning we was going to talk about sighting our rifles in, but we'll get to that in a moment. But what we're going to look at this evening is here in Romans chapter 12. Most of the time when you start reading these verses, most people go to two thoughts in this verse. And they usually are... don't want to listen to these two thoughts in this verse. Again, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. And then this is the first one, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Most time you'll hear preachers, and there's nothing wrong with preaching that, and we've preached it before ourselves, talking about that fact of, you know, that our bodies should be that living sacrifice that is to God. And then verse 2, we always hear that, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And a lot of times we'll look at that fact of being that sacrifice, and then the fact that we are called as believers not to be of this world. We're called out of this world. We're not supposed to be like this world. We shouldn't want to fit in with this world by no means, because this isn't our home. We've been called out of that. But why did God tell us that? I think we missed the key to these two verses. Again, yes, it's true that we're supposed to be a living sacrifice. Yes, it's true that we've been called out, that we don't need to be conformed to this world, but we've been transformed. But why did God tell us these two great truths? And I think a lot of times we miss the truth of the reasoning here, and it's found in the latter part of verse number 2. Why does he want us to be that living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God? Why does he tell us to be conformed, not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind? The very last part of that verse 2 says that ye may prove, and this is what we'll look at for just a little bit, what is that good and acceptable and perfect, what? Will of God. I believe that many times we forget that God has a will for everybody in this room. God has called each one of us as His children not to be conformed to this world, not to tie ourselves into this world, and to realize that we've been called to be a living sacrifice. For what purpose? To fulfill the will of God. And we need to every day, it ought to be just as much as we put on the armor of God, it should be in our hearts and our minds, are we in the will of God? Now, you might be in the will of God today and not be in the will of God tomorrow. The will of God is one of those things, once you hit that mark, it might not always be that same place. God's will for your life will change over time. There's times that God has a place and a purpose for you to be in a certain place for a certain time to do a certain thing. You see all through the Bible that God would take a man and have him in a place for a certain specific time. And when that was done, he would move him. And that's the same thing in our lives. We need to be so flexible and so understanding that we need to constantly be in the mindset that God has a will for every one of our lives. And then I want to think about that will. What, you know, preacher, what is the will of God for my life? Well, that's not my job to tell you what's the will of God. I've heard preachers say that, you know, I actually had a preacher tell me one time that this was what God's will was for my life. And I was like, well, how would you know that? Now, I appreciate advice. I appreciate counseling. I don't turn that down. But I constantly, daily, have to seek God's will in my life. And you need to have that. That ought to be just something as natural every time of our day, our lives. Are we in the will of God? And then notice about this will of God. Notice what he calls about this will of God here in verse number 2. He said that it's good, it's acceptable, and it's perfect. What a thought this evening that when we're in the will of God, that it's good. The Lord, even himself, there was none good. Except God Himself. So when we look at the will of God, as we think about, do I really desire the will of God? When you begin to truly, as a young person, as an older person, this every person that's saved, when we begin to think about the will of God for our lives, we need to realize it's good. We should never cut ourselves short. The best place you'll ever be is in the center of God's will. It's a good place to be. Well, but preacher, God wants me to do this. That's the best place for you to be. The biggest trouble that you and I have, and I put me in the same boat as you, we'll look at what we say the will of God is for us and what the will of God is for somebody else and what they're doing, and we begin to compare what God's called us to do and what God's called them to do. And when you do that, you're going contrary to the Word of God, because God said it wasn't wise for us to compare ourselves among ourselves. We need to understand that when I, not my neighbor, it's not my job. I want to encourage you. I want to, you know, when you're having this trouble, I want to help push you on along. But it's not my job to put you in the center of God's will. It's my job to keep me and my family in the best I can in that center of God's will. So we see about the will of God that he says, first of all, it's good. And then the second thing God says, it's acceptable. You know what God desires this evening? Well, God desires me to do this. No, God desires us to do His will. Now, I believe there's a will, and it's hard to explain this. I believe there's a general will. This is what we as believers all should be doing. There's some things that every one of us as believers are called to do. What do you mean, preacher? It's the will of God that every one of you witness to somebody. That's a given. It's the will of God that you pray. That's a given. It's the will of God that you read your Bible. That's a given. But whatever it is that God has called us to do, and we know that's the will of God, it's good. And when we get in the center of God's will, if it's the will of God for me to clean the commodes, God said, that's what I wanted you to do. It's acceptable. So God tells us, first of all, that we are a living sacrifice. We do need to be different from this world for the purpose of doing the will of God, the good, the acceptable. And then the last part there, he says, is perfect. Do you know much is perfect? Well, you're holding the Bible. I'm going to say that's the only perfect thing in this room tonight. But if you're in the will of God, he says it's good. It's good for who? It's good for me. It's acceptable. It's acceptable to who? To him. And then he says it's perfect. Don't take second best. And this is one of those things. I'm not going to split hairs with you. I've heard people talk about the permissive will of God. You know, but I believe God's pretty narrow. I believe God just has a perfect will of God. I was always told that clothes only counts and hand grenades and horseshoes. I will never feel the goodness. I will never feel the perfect place until I'm in that center of God's will. And so, what is the will of God? Turn with me. We're going to come back here in just a moment, probably. But look over the book of Matthew. I think a lot of times, and a good friend of mine asked me this one time, and I thought, I can't believe you're asking me this, but look over the book of Matthew. I'm afraid a lot of times, just like my friend was, that we take God too general. And the question was, the question the guy asked me, he says, do you really think God knows everything I do? Yes, I do. Well, how can he do that? Well, the government knows a lot about you that you don't even know about you. And if they can do it, surely God can. But look what God tells us here in Matthew chapter 10. Look in verse number 29. Does God have a will for your life? Not the preacher, not mom and daddy. Hey, young person, God has a will for your life. You ought to pray. And I'm all for education, and it bothers me a lot of times that, you know, our kids didn't go to public school, but I know that, what's it called now in public school, the Common Core thing, whatever that thing is. And they make our young people have to set themselves on a career path so early in their educational life. Hey, we should always, is this what God, I don't go to school, I don't go get a career because it makes big money or that's what mom and daddy want me to do. Hey, young person, you got to pray and ask God, hey, God, what do you want me to do with my life? Same thing with us adults. When we buy things, have you prayed about it? We bought a car one time and I told the guy, I said, let me go pray about it. He says, really? I said, yeah. I said, I want to make sure this is what God wants for me. Could I have bought that car? Probably. But it doesn't mean it's what God wanted me to have. If we'll learn, most time our problems today with finding the will of God is we don't want to wait. We've got so hungry to do it now. Most time we miss God's will because we don't wait on God. But notice what the Bible says here in Matthew chapter 10, verse 29. It says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Well, what did that say? God is telling me that you're important. God's telling me that as much as he knows every hair on my head, from the time I was born till the time I am today, every hair that I had, the Bible said, people say, well, God knows how many hairs on my head. That's not what he said. God said he numbered every hair that you ever had. God knows every hair that was on my head from the time I was born till the time I die. Do you think he takes notice of you? Do you think that you're important to God? He says a sparrow, two of them, are bought for that far. Such a minute amount of money. He says somebody's going to buy two sparrows. Which to most people today will say, well, that is nothing. Who cares about that? God says, I do. He says, and one of them won't fall to the ground without me knowing about it. What I'm saying this season is we need to realize that my life, individually, our lives collectively, are important to God. And for that reason, we need to realize that God says, I have a good and acceptable and a perfect will for every one of us, from the smallest to the oldest, to the prettiest to the ugliest, to the skinniest to the fattest. God says, I got something for you to be doing. And that's what he's saying here this evening, is there is a perfect will of God. The Bible says this in Psalms chapter 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. God says, I've set some steps in your path. I've opened the doors and I've made the way, and I delight in that. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 6 says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. And what does it say? And he shall do what? Direct thy paths. Who's he saying that to? To me. To you. So I'm saying this evening, we need to understand there is a perfect, there is a good and acceptable will of God. Go back with me over there to Romans chapter 12. We'll not read the verses again, but that'll just be our home place for the next little bit. I got three things tonight I want to mention to you about this good and this acceptable and this perfect will of God. Again, God says, I want you. If you were here with us Wednesday night, we look at Abram, and God called Abram to come out from his brethren, or his homeland, come away from his kindred, to go somewhere that God had called him to do. And to do that, he had to do all those things to really be where God wanted him to be. He could not have those distractions. He could not have those things that hindered him. And tonight, we need to understand that we too have somewhere that God wants us to be and doing for his will. And it's a good, it's perfect, and it's acceptable. So when it comes to the will of God, what do we need to do? And I mentioned this morning, just jokingly, it came across my mind, we're going to preach on how to sight in your deer rifle. Now, I'm really different. I'm not a very good shot. Just I'm not. When I shoot my deer rifle, if I hit the pie plate, that'll hit a deer. That's all I care about. Now, some of these guys, I know Seth and some other, they like to hit the bullseye every time. I just want to hit a pie plate. If I can hit a pie plate, I can hit a deer. That's what I say. But is that how I want to do in my own Christian life? Well, if I just get close. But I'm afraid a lot of times that's what we do. And I've learned, you know, some of these other guys probably know what I'm talking about. Sometimes when you're deer hunting, some of you probably never been deer hunting in your life, but sometimes when you're deer hunting and you throw that rifle up, you'll see that deer in that scope. But seeing that deer in that scope ain't good enough. Because I've shot many times not paying attention and taking my time and putting those crosshairs where it needs to be. But I saw that deer in that scope, and I missed. And I'm afraid a lot of times when it comes to the perfect, the good, acceptable, perfect will of God, sometimes we just throw that thing up and say, yeah, that's what we're supposed to be doing. And we don't take time to really draw in and get that crosshair. Is this, I want to get to the place. To that one thing. I don't need it to be general. And again, there are many general things that we all need to be doing. But there's something that you and I. It's just like me and I'm thinking his name, Eric, was here this morning, the nurse. I was talking to him, and we got talking about this old body and different things. And I said, you know, God put all this stuff in there. It must have had a purpose. You know, we take a lot of stuff of it out and say we don't need that. Well, God must have thought we needed it. If you put it in there, right? Well, every piece of this body of Christ, from the little toe to the top of the head, our body needs it physically, and it needs it spiritually, the spiritual body of Christ. There's no big I's, no little U's. Every piece of the body of Christ is important, and we need to make sure, again, my ear don't need to be doing or worrying about what my hand's doing. And my eye don't need to be worried about what my foot's doing. See what I'm saying? That's where we need to be when it comes to this good and this acceptable and this perfect will of God. Let me give you three things. And again, I can't tell you. I've had people ask, preacher, I want to know what the will of God is for me. And this is what I'll tell you. If you come to me, I'll say, I'll help you pray about it. That's all I can do. If God has called us to be a living sacrifice, and he did. if God has called us to come out from among this world and be transformed, not be like this, conformed to this world, to be transformed, He did that for the purpose of doing the good and the perfect and acceptable will of God. Do you think God's trying to hide it from you? Do you think God... I was picking on that young lady over there. She came up and shook my hand. I just put my hand way up here. She went, you know. Is that what God does to you? Here, I got something I want you to do. But you can't reach it. It's not like the old cartoon of the leading the donkey with the carrot on a string. That's not what God wants. God has put something in every one of our lives, every day of our life, to be doing for His will. Not my will, but His will. And that's where it comes into play. Three things, I believe, real quickly this evening, it'll help all of us to be in the will of God. First of all, this evening, the first thing, and again, I believe these sort of fall in order. The first thing this evening about the will of God, and to find the will of God, you need to be seeking the will of God. I wonder tonight, could you truly say that you sought the will of God today? Well, no, preacher, it's Sunday. I knew where I was supposed to be. Well, that's a general will of God. But did you speak to the person God wanted you to speak to? Did you give somebody a tract that God wanted you to give it to? Did you pray the way God wanted you to pray? We need to learn every day to seek the will of God. It ought to be something that's fresh, something that's desirable. Why? Because it should be one of the most important things to the child of God is to be in the will of God. So the first thing we've got to learn to do is seek the will of God. Even the Bible says, seek and you shall find. So if you want to find the will of God, start seeking for it. And God says you'll find it. He says, seek me early, and you shall find me. When do you start looking for the will of God? I start praying when my eyes open up in the mornings. I don't even wait to get out of bed. I'll lay there just for a few moments and think and talk to God just for a little bit before I ever spend to get myself, out of the bed. Seek the will of God. He also says, draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. What does that mean? When you take a step, I believe God will take two. When you show that you're serious, when you are truly seeking this good. It's good. The will of God is something we ought to desire. It's good. It's acceptable. My bah humbug, here we are almost springtime, but my bah humbug of Christmas. I tell my wife all the time, says we buy presents for people that don't care that you bought them a present because they don't want what you got for them anyway. They'll take it back and get what they want. You ever feel that way? That's a sad thing to get that. We just got, there's kids, they don't even appreciate stuff because they get stuff so much all through the year. But when it comes to the will of God, God wants this for Him and He wants it for you. We ought to really desire it. We ought to be seeking the will of God. And it's the best thing for us. So first of all, we need to seek the will of God. Second of all, we need to surrender to the will of God. Now that's hard. If you're going to find in times of your life, if you're seriously seeking the will of God, God's going to have something for you to do and it's not what you want to do. But it's still right to do the will of God. This flesh will not always be comfortable. This flesh will not always desire what God has us to do. But we got to understand that God said, this is good for you. It's acceptable to me, and it's perfect. So who are we to say, I'll do this, but I won't do that? If God, I've said it before, people talk about, I wish I had this, I wish I had that. If God, and this is a biblical principle, if you're not faithful in small things, why do you think God will ever give you big things? And then let me ask you this. Who's measuring? What is small? What is big? I don't think God looks at it that way. It's like I try not to say, well, that's a small church. No, that's God's church. Or that's a big church. No, that's God's church. We're all part of the same body. So, first of all, we need to learn to seek, but then second of all, we need to learn to surrender. The Bible says over 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 5, it says, In this they did, not as we hope, but this is what it says, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. That's what it takes to be in the center of God's will. First of all, I believe you've got to seek it. God doesn't force it on you. God's not going to write it in the sky. You need to seek the will of God, but then you need to learn to surrender the will of God. As we see here about the Corinthians, he says, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. You've got to surrender just as Isaiah did, said, here am I, Lord, send me. Whatever you want me to do today, God, I'm yours. Why? Because you belong to God if you're saved. The Bible says you were bought with a price. You don't belong to yourself. You belong to Him. And it ought to be our desire to be in the center of God's will. So first of all, we need to learn to seek it. Second of all, we need to learn to surrender to it. Whatever you want, God, and mean that. And sometimes it's I've seen it in my own life. I can't speak for your life. But I can look back on my life and see how God put stepping stones in my life to get us from one place to the other. All because that we tried our best. Were we perfect? By no means. But God was laying things here to get me to there. And God's still doing that today. God's putting things in order for things I don't even know is coming down the pike. But God says, things are coming. Things are going to happen. You need to be doing this so you'll be ready for that. It's the will of God, and it's perfect, and it's good, and it's acceptable. We need to seek it. We need to surrender to it. And then last of all, this evening, when you find the will of God for you today, now it might be the same thing tomorrow, and it might be the same thing the next day, and it might be this next year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, till you die. But when you find that will of God, you've sought it, you've surrendered to it, you need to learn to do one more thing, and that's stand on it. This is what God's called me to do, and I'm going to do it until God says do the next thing. Standing in the center. My preacher used to say all the time, when you find the will of God, draw you a circle around, put you an X in it, and stand right there on it. And I believe that. When God says this is where I want you, you need to understand that's the best place in the world you could ever be. Hey, young person, when God sets your eyes on something for Him, that's the best thing you'll ever have. So we need to learn to stand on the will of God. The Bible says over in Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 12 that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. And it's not just for young people. It's not just for preachers. It's for every saved person. The best place you'll ever be. That's what I try to do with my children. Whatever God called them to be. And I've talked to preachers that their kids have become missionaries and have left home and gone to some foreign field. But I believe with all my heart, when you seriously want the best for your child, wherever the will of God is the best place for them to be. Well, I want them to be a lawyer. Would you rather them be a lawyer outside the will of God? Or be whatever God wanted them to be in the will of God? They'll never be perfect. They'll never be that good and acceptable and perfect place until they're in the center of God's will. And that's for me. And that's for you. So again, the Bible says over in Romans chapter 12, verse number 1 and 2, it says, and I beseech you, therefore, brethren, I beseech you, I beg you, by the mercies of God. Aren't you glad God's merciful? Listen, some of you this evening say, boy, I've already missed. Well, guess what? I have too. But see, my misses yesterday are gone. My misses today are gone. But if the Lord will, I'm going to get up in the morning. I got a whole new day to do my best to hit the center of God's will. You can't change yesterday, but you can do something about today. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, yours. It's important to God, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Hey, young person, Take dating serious. You ought to marry the person God wants you to marry. Why? Because that'll be the perfect person. I believe with all my heart that God has one man for one woman and one woman for one man. And when those two are joined, that's the most perfect thing. Perfect and acceptable. Don't play games with it. Don't toy around with it. You ought to realize that God, same thing with your life. Boy, life can be short. Life is short. You need to do all you can for God while you can. And in verse 2 he says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by how? The renewing of your mind." That's how we find, that's how we seek, that's how we search, and that's how we put ourselves into place as we renew our minds, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So I want to encourage us this evening to find that good and acceptable and perfect will for your life. Not mine, for yours. I pray every day, God, is this what you want me to do? Is this where you want me to be? 1996, I guess it was. However long ago that's been. How many years ago has that been, Seth? 96, 2006, 20 years. Wow, y'all are old. 20 years ago, come this November-ish. Can't tell you the exact day, but it was in November. God had been dealing with me for weeks, probably months. I can take you to that altar, right-hand side. Used to be the piano side, now it's not, but the right-hand side of Friendship Baptist Church, I laid myself on that altar and cried out to God. And I said, "God, whatever you want me to do, that's what I want to do." That's what we've tried to do. And that's what we're going to continue to try by the help of the Lord. It's not me. It's just the Lord. But every day we have to just keep checked up. "God, is this what you want? This is where you want me to be? This is what I need to be doing? Because I want to be in that good, perfect, and acceptable will of God." Let's stand this evening.